Welcome back to the Born to Ball podcast on this beautiful Monday, November the 11th. We got a lot to talk about. It's 11-11. Make a wish, my guy. I wish the Kansas City Chiefs three-peat this season. And guess what? It might happen. Anyways, though, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to recap the NFL Sunday, college football. We're going to talk NBA as well. We're going to look forward to the days ahead, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to talk about what happened on Saturday, Sunday, and Friday night. So we got a lot to talk about on this Monday. On paper, it's a lot, but you get in depth and a lot of mid going around, but still, everything is worth to talk about. So let's get into it. Let's kick it off. First stop is in Germany. Panthers-Giants turned out to be a good game, but when you get two bad teams, I should have expected this, man. Two teams that probably in the future would have been better off losing, but one of them had to win anyways. For the Panthers side of things, I am happy that Bryce Young stringed together another win. That's back-to-back for him. He beat the Saints and the Giants. Huge. He had 15 completions, 126 passing yards, and one passing TD. Didn't look clean, still had a few mistakes, but still, he's building confidence. I'm excited to see what he does down the line. Hell, he might be the Chief. He might beat the Chiefs. Be prepared for that, man. I wouldn't be shocked if Bryce Young made some shit shake versus the Chiefs. Anyways, Chuba Hubbard, just still looking to lead, man. I think he's entering the top five conversation for running backs in the league. 28 carries, 153 yards, and one TD. Xavier Leggett, 3 catches, 40 yards. Overall, just, they were on the back of Chuba Hubbard. And, I mean, that is not a back, that is not a bad back to ride. Pause. So, hell, that's all they really needed to defeat the Giants. On the other side, Daniel Jones just looked, there isn't a word to describe him. You know, if I looked in a dictionary, I probably could, but as of now, I ain't got the words to describe his performance. 22 completions, 190 yards, 2 interceptions. I mean, it's just embarrassing, dude. He's on his last days in New York, and I mean, I don't know who will take him in. I mean, of course, everybody needs a backup quarterback, man, but his times as a starter are wrapping up quickly, man. I don't know if it's going to be Shador, Quinn Ewers, Cam Ward, but the New York Giants are going to have a new quarterback next season, and that's something to watch all offseason because Daniel Jones ain't cutting it no more. He's going to get people fired, and before they do, he's got to go. So if I'm the Giants, I'd let Brian Daboll go get one more spin at it, get a rookie in there, maybe get a vet backup, and ride that thing out, man. But Daniel Jones, it's over. But a positive note, Tyrone Tracy, their young running back, had 18 carries, 103 yards, and one rushing touchdown, but unfortunately had that game-losing fumble that led to the Panthers recovering and kicking the game-winning field goal in overtime, man. But overall, Malik Nabers, 6 catches, 50 yards. Wasn't the best day for the Giants, you know. Embarrassing, but hell. That's what happens when you got bad quarterback play, man. But it is what it is. In the future, they'll benefit from that loss, so I know not that many Giants fans are upset about it, but Daniel Jones needs to go. In other NFC East news, we got the Commanders losing to the Steelers 28-27 in what was a sneaky good game on paper and in real life. I mean, I wasn't able to catch this game because of the Chiefs playing at the same time, but I mean, you look at the score, you watch the end of it on Red Zone, and you can tell this is an elite game. Steeler fans took over the stadium. Dirty towels were everywhere getting waved, but that impact was kind of shown, man. Jaden Daniels had 17 completions, 202 yards, and 0 passing TDs to 0 interceptions. Also, Eckler had 2 touchdowns on the day. Overall, the Commanders' offense looked solid, but could have been better. I thought Jaden Daniels was going to kill in the running game, but he didn't, and my whole ticket was cooked. You know, I did not end up cooking that Sunday morning, but hell, it is what it is. But on the other side of letting things cook, Russ did cook again. He had 14 completions, 195 yards, and 3 passing TDs to 1 interception. George Pickens, like I stated earlier in the preseason, I said, regardless of his quarterback, George Pickens is going to get the ball. He's going to eat this year, and he's proved that nearly every game. 5 catches, 91 yards, and 1 TD. Najee Harris, 21 carries, 53 yards, and TD. And Mike Williams, the newly acquired wide receiver from the Jets, had a 1 catch and 32 yards for the game-winning touchdown late in the game. Beautiful ball from Russell Wilson, but a great catch from Mike Williams to snag that thing in and walk it off practically for the Steelers. Commanders got the ball back, but fourth down, couldn't get it past that first down line. And unfortunately, they lost that game, man. They have a big one on Thursday, which I'll talk later, against the Eagles. But this was an important game to win because you knew who you had to face on Thursday. So Unfortunately that they lost this, but they had to use all that momentum and juice, regain, and get back to this on Thursday because you have a big division game versus the Eagles, which, like I said, we'll talk about later. Next up, you had the 49ers beat the Buccaneers in late. It was a Jake Moody game-winning field goal for them to take the dub. Brock Purdy on the day looks solid. What can you say? 353 passing yards, 25 completions and 2 passing TDs. Ricky Pearsall, who got shot over 10 weeks ago, is back in NFL action with 4 catches, 73 yards, and a touchdown on the day. Christian McCaffrey gained back from Germany, and those German guys must have got him right because in his first action back, he had over 100 scrimmage yards. Solid days of work. Juwan Jennings had 7 catches for 93 yards in his return. Debo, 5 catches, 76 yards in total. Jordan Mason, that stock is going down. He only had 1 carry on the day. Jake Moody went 3 out of 6 for field goals. Kicked 2 extra points, but had the game winner. On the Bucs side of things, unfortunate loss. You know, how you competed back-to-back weeks, but without Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, the identity of your team is practically gone right now. Baker can't do it all. The running game can't do it all versus a great defense like the Niners. And fortunately, they lost this game. Baker had 18 completions, over 116 yards, 1 passing TD. Bucky Irvin, Rashad White both had a TD on the day. One of the best backfields in the league. Continue to show up. Cade Otton was Baker Mayfield's best non-running back target on the day. And unfortunately, they couldn't string around that win. 49ers are just a better team. But as they get healthy, could they return back to the Super Bowl? I mean, you look at what the Lions did yesterday, which we'll talk a little later. The Eagles, the Vikings, Packers, hell, a lot of these teams are beatable. All right, so the 49ers are in the thick of it. Like chaos, I don't even want to say that joke, forgive me. But they are in the thick of it for this NFC race. And yeah, a good game. But if we're going to pivot real quick back to the NFC for the NFC South. And in a terrible result for the Falcons, they lost to the Saints 20-17. I feel like every time a new quarterback lines up for a team, you know, an old starter, veteran QB, they get the dub. In another case, when a head coach gets fired, the team rallies up behind the interim, and boom, they come out, and they come out swinging. They get the dub, and today that happened for the Saints, you know. Derek Carr's still there, so they didn't get that new QB juice, but hell, they got it with the head coach, man, because they beat the Falcons 20-17. Derek Carr had 269 passing yards, 2 passing TDs, and could have had a third if it wasn't for Alvin Kamara dropping a wide-open ball that could have went to the crib. But Alvin Kamara himself had over 109 scrimmage yards. But the big talk of the day is Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the former Chief and Bills wide receiver, had 3 catches for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. MVS, who just got cut. MVS, who everybody just thought was a bottom, I would say, 20 receiver in the league, comes out and just absolutely dogs the Falcons. And I mean, I was a believer in this Falcons secondary, and I really didn't watch this game. Hell, I haven't seen a highlight excluding Alvin Kamara's drop from this game. And man, you know, I was a believer in the secondary, but I don't know, maybe it was a busted coverage or what, but the fact that MVS has 36.3 receiving yards per catch is ridiculous. I mean, he had a long of 67, 3 targets, 3 catches. I mean, he absolutely got worked, man. On the Falcons side of things, Bijan Robinson was looking like that generational running back. 20 carries, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Drake London, Darnell Mooney, that great 1-2 punch in the receiving corps with 8 catches, 5 catches. Combine that, that's 13. They had over 100, nearly over 200 yards together. No touchdowns, though, but overall, a solid day for Kirk Cousins' top 2 targets. Kyle Pitts, average day in the offense, but overall, Young Wei Koo with 2 missed field goals. Mistakes like that costed them this game, man. It's unfortunate, man. The Falcons could have easily cruised out with this division, man. But you sit there 6-4. Bucks are 4-6. You're not really out of it. You know, I thought with one or two more wins and 1 or 2 more Bucks losses, you can walk away with this division by week 14. But now that we sit here, man, the Bucks can still string some wins together and get it out. Even though they are 0-2 versus the Falcons, the division is still in play for the Bucks, especially if Mike Evans gets back. So Falcons just got to get back on their shit, man. But in what was the snooze fest of the day, the Minnesota Vikings beat the Jaguars 12-7. I didn't watch a single second of this game, and I'm glad I didn't, because what the hell? Sam Darnold had 24 completions and 3 interceptions, 241 passing yards. TJ Hockenson was clearly his favorite target yesterday. 8 catches, 72 yards. Justin Jefferson with 5 catches, 48 yards. Josh Oliver, 4 catches, 52. Aaron Jones with over 100 scrimmage yards. Overall, on paper, I don't know how he only got 12 points, but, I mean, the 3 interceptions, just miserable. I mean, you won this game off the single leg of John Parker Romo, some kicker they must have signed. I don't know, because the last time he kicked was for the damn Saints in 2022 and the Lions in 2023. I mean, this guy's a preseason kicker. He comes in and he saves this game for you. So, hell, he might need a statue because the Vikings are now sitting at 7-2 in a game they should have lost. But for the Jags, Trevor Lawrence didn't play. Mac Jones back in. Oof, they didn't get that juice from a new quarterback because 14 completions, 111 passing yards, 2 interceptions. Anybody else plays quarterback for this team, I bet they win this game, man. If Trevor Lawrence was in, they probably win this by multiple possessions, and Dougie P gets another week stay in Jacksonville. But as of now, I won't put the blame on him for this game. You lost to a better team, but the way you lost is kind of embarrassing. A 5-point loss where they've only scored off field goals. Sam Darnold with 3 interceptions. Justin Jefferson didn't even go off, and he somehow lost his game. It's unfortunate, man, but the rushing attack wasn't there. I mean, 56 rushing yards throughout the whole game, and it was a one possession game the whole time. Embarrassing. I mean, that's all you can say, dude. You know, I didn't watch this game, so I can't tell you how the reason this. I can't speak for on this game really much because I didn't watch a single second of it. So it is what it is. Vikings win this one. Jags. Time you start licking your chops at top 5 prospects in this draft class. Really haven't watched much Jaguars to see what they really need. Maybe you get some upgrades in the secondary. Maybe old linemen. It's going to be interesting to see for sure, you know. So, Jags are one team to watch all rest of the season and all season with the decisions they make. But next up, we're going to talk about the Bills and Colts. The Bills won this one 30-20. Joe Flacco has proved, again, why there's no point of playing him and benching Anthony Richardson. Joe Flacco threw 3 interceptions on the day with 2 passing TDs and 272 yards. Anthony Richardson probably would have been a little less efficient. But, hell, I mean, what's the point? You drafted Anthony Richardson knowing he was raw. Now he looks raw out there. You bench the guy. And Joe Flacco, who we all thought was elite, clearly isn't elite in whatever year it is. He might be year 17 or something. You know, I mean, hell, I don't get it. Terrible. I mean, terrible that you're just going to have Anthony Richards sit. Talking about he's the quarterback for the rest of the season, or at least until unless further notice, excuse me. But it's embarrassing. For the Colts, man, I think it's just time we put Anthony Richardson back in that starting quarterback role and get things rolling. On the Bills side of things, as they prepare for to play the Chiefs next week, Josh Allen didn't have the cleanest performances ever. 2 interceptions to 0 passing TDs, 280 passing yards and 1 rushing touchdown on the day for Josh Allen. James Cook with 19 carries, 80 yards. Matt Collins, 4 catches. Khalil Shakir, 6 catches. Curtis Samuel showed up with 4 catches. Dalton Kincaid, I think, left the game a little early, if I'm not mistaken. But overall, solid warm-up game for the Bills, man. You know, like I said, if you felt like the Chiefs haven't looked impressive this year, I don't think the Bills have either, really. Lost to the Texans and the Ravens. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch this team going forward, dude. Because you look at the Bills' schedule, man. You got the Chiefs next week, of course. But then you get the Niners, Rams, and Lions. I see 4 lose games. I see this team losing all 4 games. I think it's a possibility. I don't think it's 100% confirmed. Yeah, of course. But it's a damn possibility the Bills can lose to the Chiefs, Niners, Rams, and Lions. I mean, after that, they'd be sitting at 8-6. And luckily for them, they'd get the Patriots, Jets, and Patriots again. So I wouldn't be shocked if they finish the season 11-6, all right? Because those are 4 good teams. But in my opinion, I think the Bills go 2-2 in this stretch. I think they'll lose to the Chiefs. Maybe the Lions or Rams, you know, but that's a tough stretch right there for the Bills. So they haven't really impressed me yet, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do down the stretch. But it probably what was the biggest disappointment of the week. The Bears lost to the Patriots 3-19. Drake May had 184 passing yards, 15 completions to 1 interception and 1 passing TD. Ramondre Stevenson had 20 carries for 74 yards. And Austin Hooper. Yes, Austin Hooper. Had 3 catches for 64 yards. I mean, fucking Austin Hooper. I mean, they got Hunter Henry on the team, and they go Austin Hooper. Two top 10 tight ends in the year of 2017, man. But anyways, solid day for the Patriots, man. I mean, you really don't need to win this game. You don't have to prove nothing. I mean, you're sitting at 3-7. I mean, why not take a top pick? But you get the Rams, Dolphins, Colts, Cardinals, Bills, Chargers. You're probably not going to win a game for the rest of the year, and that's perfectly okay. You got your impressive wins. You beat the Jets. I mean, you beat the Jets, you beat the Bears, and who else did they beat? What the hell? Hold on. Excuse me, bro. I'm blanking. Who else did they beat? The Bengals. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm sorry that I just blanked that hard, but you have three solid wins on a year. That you beat the Jets, you beat the Bengals, you beat the Bears. So you don't need to win another game for the rest of the season. 3-14 and a top prospect in this draft is good enough. But on the Bears side of things, 142 total yards of offense in this game. Caleb Williams had 120 passing yards. You only had 73 rushing yards. I'm going to say there were some sacks involved, so, you know, minus those off. But anyways, man, this is the biggest disappointment I've kind of seen in years. I was a big believer in the Bears, and I mean, Matt Eberflus, I'm not going to look how to pronounce his name, but he's on his way out, dog. I mean, this is just embarrassing. They were 1-14 on third down yesterday. That recipe, you're not going to win much at all, man. Bears currently sit here 4-5, last in the NFC North, with a loss or two, with a gauntlet of a stretch they have to go through. Look at the teams they play, man. You got the Packers, Vikings, Lions, 49ers, Vikings, Lions, Seahawks, and Packers to end off your season. You very well could lose every game, and I wouldn't be shocked. And if they do, that is going to be the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen from an NFL team in a long time because of the hype they had. I thought this was going to be a top 15-10 offense. Caleb Williams was going to maybe shatter records with the weapons he's got, but overall, man, this has just been terrible vibes. He got sacked 9 times yesterday. 9 times. You aren't going to do anything when your quarterback has zero protection. I mean, overall, this isn't my team, so I'm not going to get too much into it, but right now, this is genuinely embarrassing, and we're gonna have to get some changes in the coaching staff soon. I think they're a loss away from doing that. I don't think they want to fire anybody before hitting the double digit in weeks. But overall, losing to the Patriots, is embarrassing, man. Should never even happen in the first place. But for the last early afternoon game to talk about, we got the Chiefs versus the Broncos. Chiefs won 16-14. If you watched this game, you watched in a good game, a good division game. I mean, Bo Nix handled his thing. 22 completions, 30 attempts, 215 passing yards, and 2 passing TDs. I mean, first half-wise, he was elite. I thought he looked elite in the first half, but in the second half, Chiefs defense kind of shut them down, you know. They were 1-2 in the red zone. Chiefs defense did their job. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, 28 out of 42. Wasn't that efficient, but not going to blame the guy. 266 passing yards, 1 passing TD. Could have had a second, but he missed Travis Kelce. A lot of people were trying to say it was his plant-legged ankle, the ankle he's injured. He wasn't able to really properly deliver that ball. But, I mean, it is what it is. He got sacked 4 times yesterday, had a lot of pressure. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the way the O-line performed, especially the left tackles. Kingsley, Wanye, Jawan, you know, they were getting cooked on blitzes. You know, it wasn't pretty at all. But he could have had another touchdown to Xavier Worthy, but he just looked like he rushed that throw. DeAndre Hopkins had a solid day of work, even with Patrick Surtain on him. 4 catches, 56 yards. Kareem Hunt had 100 scrimmage yards in total. 14 carries, 35 passing rushing yards, and 65 receiving yards. Travis Kelce, uncle, had 1 touchdown to give him the all-time receiving touchdown leader in Chiefs history. So congratulations to him. 8 catches, 64 yards in total. Overall, defensively, I thought they looked stellar. We'll talk about special teams in a second, but they looked stellar in that second half. Trent McDuffie had kind of an off day. You know, he gave up that touchdown to Dunning. I mean, he will tell you himself first that was a terrible performance by him, but I'm not looking too bad on that. He's one of the best corners in the league. Everybody's not going to have a perfect game. So, Najee Johnson, I was very impressed with. You know, he, of course, was out last week with a concussion, and he's back now. And I feel like the hole that was left at second cornerback 2 spot was filled back up again by Najee being healthy. Overall, I was impressed all day from this defense. You know, that first half was a little shaky, but the offense really didn't help, especially the offensive line. Didn't help to do his job. Patrick could have been a little more efficient. Play calling could have been a little better. But overall, they did their thing. And before we wrap up the early afternoon, salute to the special teams. I mean, Leo Chanel, George Karfalafis. I mean, I mean, the Greek freak. I'm gonna call him the Greek. He the real Greek freak, all right? Giannis don't got that nickname no more. But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, special teams unit dominated. And shout out Dan Orlovsky for pointing this out. But if you look back, they targeted the same guy over and over all day for every extra point, for every kick. They had multiple people lined up on the same guard for field goal, and it came to bite them in their ass because, guess, at the end of the game, with all the heart and effort they could, the Chiefs put this guy on his ass and had three guys up there to block the kick. Everybody called it luck, but if Will Lutz shanked that thing 30 yards to the left, that would be luck. But it was pure power football from inside the special teams unit that just pushed this guy back, put him on his ass, and had three, four guys ready to block that kick. I mean, overall, it was an exciting finish. The Chiefs just know how to win games. And for every NFL team, they should be worried about that because you're going to have to win close games in the playoffs. You're not just going to get a blowout. And the Chiefs have proved year in and year out and in this regular season that they can win close games. Whether that be from defense alone, offense, special teams, they know how to win this game. Coaching is elite. Like I said, having multiple people lined up on the same guy all game to exploit the weakness in the field goal unit, elite coaching. I mean, from top to bottom, I don't see a reason we don't three-peat. You're going to get Charles Omeniu back, Isaiah Pacheco back, and Juju back in the upcoming weeks. You might add Hollywood Brown in mid to late December. Hopefully, he'll be there for a playoff game. I mean, I don't see a way you don't three-peat. If you get that first seed and you control home field advantage, I'm going to be honest, I don't see C.J. Stroud, Lamar, Josh Allen, Bo Nix coming back if he can. I don't see none of these guys coming to Arrowhead in the playoffs and beating Patrick Mahomes at home. But that's a whole other conversation for another day. Shout out to special teams unit. Shout out to defense. Offense needs to be a tad bit better. But Broncos side of things, they are finally turning that tide in. I think they are a legit team now. I think they are the second best team in the AFC West. Yes, I know they got blown out by the Chargers. But in my opinion, I feel like I favor the Broncos defense more than the Chargers defense, and I believe I don't know. I mean, personality-wise, I love Jim Harbaugh way more than Sean Payton, but I don't know. I feel like Sean Payton is a better coach matched up against Andy Reid. But anyways, though, Broncos did their thing. Chiefs played great on all three units when it mattered, and overall, solid days of work. But now for the mid-afternoon. This is probably the worst mid-afternoon slate of the year. Not much to talk about. Chargers outplayed the Titans 27-17. Justin Herbaugh looked great on the ground. He had 9 carries, 32 yards, and 1 rushing TD. He had a few jukes. I mean, he was making some shit shake. He had 164 passing yards with 1 touchdown, 14 completions out of 18 attempts. Quentin Johnson with another touchdown this week. 2 catches, 24 yards, 1 TD. Overall, just a solid day's work. Greg Roman hasn't been the worst play caller ever, like predicted. Him and Jim Harbaugh have been doing their thing, and the Chargers currently sit 6-3, second in the AFC West. They have that tiebreaker over the Broncos. But on the Titans side of things, Will Levis probably gave his best performance of the year. They only lost by 10, but he had 18 completions, only 5 incompletions, 175 passing yards, and 2 passing TDs. Calvin Ridley was the recipient of both of them. He had 5 catches, 84 yards, and 2 passing TDs. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, both nearly put over 90 yards on the ground rushing. And combined, they had 18 carries. I mean, overall, it was a solid day for the Titans. If they do believe in Will Levis at all, he gave them something to look forward to, man. But overall, good day of work for them guys. But yeah, we'll move on to the Eagles-Cowboys. This game was deflated by injuries as Dak Dakota Prescott is probably going to be out the year with a hamstring injury. Trey Lance and Cooper Rush both saw some action. Trey Lance had 1 interception with 4 completions. Cooper Rush, 45 passing yards, 13 completions. Rico Dowdle, 12 carries, 53 yards. CeeDee Lamb, 6 catches, 24 yards. Overall, they just got fucking worked. I mean, what can I say? Philly's a way better team right now, and they did their thing. For the Eagles side of things, Kenny Pickett even came in through completion. Jalen Hurts had a solid day, man. Continuing to prove that he is a solid top 10 quarterback, you know, right outside that top 5. If you ask me, quarterback rankings is a whole hour discussion, but I put him at that 7-8 spot for sure, man. He just, when he's elite, man. But he does have his flaws occasionally, dude. But 14 completions, 202 passing yards, 2 pass TDs to 1 interception. He also had 2 rushing TDs as well. He got sacked five times that day, though, so that's not a good sign. A.J. Brown, though, 5 catches, 109 yards. Dallas Goedert, 2 catches, 25 yards of TD. Saquon had 78 scrimmage yards. Somewhat of a down day for my guy, Kenneth Gainwell, though. 7 carries and 30 yards in total. I mean, overall, it was a solid day for the Eagles. Continue to prove their dominance, and they have a big Thursday night football game versus the Commanders, which I'll talk about a little later. But yeah, they got some great momentum rolling into that, man. Dominating the Cowboys in Jerry's World. Another blowout. You had the Cardinals dominate the Jets, 31-6. Kyler Murray, so great to see him balling, man. I've been a fan for a long time. 22 completions. Only had two incompletions on the day. 266 passing yards and one passing TD. He got absolutely obliterated by Quincy Williams on a sack, but hell, he got up, walked him down, and got the touchdown. I mean, what can I say? James Conner had 113 scrimmage yards with one TD. Marvin Harrison with 5 catches, 54 yards, and a TD. Trey Benson, 10 carries, 87 scrimmage yards in totals. Trey McBride, well, stiff arm a dude off him, then hurdled a guy after that. I mean, top 5 tight end easily. His improvement has been a great thing to watch. 4 catches, 71 yards. Overall, Jets just got worried. I mean, you know, after that Texans game, you thought, man, maybe they're still in it. But I had a feeling they were going to drop one or two to the Colts and Cardinals. There's just no way they're going to be able to handle that stretch. But when you look back on their schedule, losing to teams like the Patriots, the Broncos, Cardinals, I mean, those are the games you were supposed to win on paper, and that's just embarrassing. Devontae Adams and all, it's going to be interesting to see how this team crumbles, man. A-Rod had a decent day, mediocre at best, 151 passing yards, 22 completions, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, mediocre days as well. I mean, overall, just got work, man. But mid-afternoon slate was mid. That's all you can say about it. And Sunday Night Football was a roller coaster of a game. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. 5 interceptions. He had 240 passing yards. And he had 2 passing TDs. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta were the recipients of those. Laporta had 3 catches, 66 yards as he continued to get back to his rookie level after what has so far been a down year. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I was thinking about taking his over for touchdowns, but hell. I stood away. I don't know why I did, though. But he had 6 catches for 60 yards. David Montgomery had a TD on the day, 12 carries, 32 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs had 19 carries and 108 yards in total. J-Mo had a few good catches. Overall, the Lions did their job, but they weren't supposed to be in this game. The Texans' collapse is bigger than the Lions being good, because how do you lose this game? How do you lose this game? C.J. Stroud, without Nico Collins, has been pretty mediocre. I mean, 19 completions, 2 interceptions, 1 passing TD. Joe Mixon, 25 carries, 90 yards in total, 1 TD. John Mechie, great story to see. 5 catches, 74 yards, and 1 TD. Great to see somebody with Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs out. Somebody step up. That was huge. Dalton Schultz, 3 catches, 66 yards. Tank Dell, 5 catches, 33. Overall, it's just, you got freaking 5 interceptions, and you couldn't capitalize off that. I mean, Kamari Lassiter, the rookie, hey, amazing day of work. 2 pass deflections and 2 interceptions. Jimmy Ward had an interception. I mean, Kalen Bullock with the interception. Henry Toto had an interception. I mean, just great work from the defense, and they got sold. I mean, granted, because the defense could have done something, yeah. But barely any points in the second half for the Texans was embarrassing. That shouldn't happen. If they scored once, this game is probably over. But Jake Bates drilled a beautiful field goal right inside the pylon. Right inside. He squeezed that thing in, man, and the Lions won this one in a big Sunday Night Football game, and the Texans currently sit 6-4. You look at their schedule, you know, they got the Cowboys next week on Monday Night Football and the Titans. You know, those are 2 games you should win. Then you get the Jags and Dolphins. You should probably beat the Jags, man. You sit there, you're probably 9-4. You get the Dolphins, you could lose to the Dolphins. And then you get a 2 stretch game where it is hell. You get the Chiefs on the road, and then you get the Ravens at home. Yeah, it is the games like that you don't want to drop seeding wise because hell, you're gonna probably be on the road in the playoffs because of that. I think you still easily win your division because of how bad the Jaguars and Titans are. Colts aren't really a threat in my opinion because I think they're done playing the Colts. Yeah, you're gonna have 2 games with the Titans, 1 more with the Jags, I think, and you get the Cowboys, Dolphins, Ravens, and Chiefs that are out of the division. So I wouldn't be shocked if they dropped 3 more games, but they should easily win 4 and go 10-7 at the worst. But it's bad to see, man. The injuries they got dealt with, I kind of feel for them, man. You come into the season, want Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, and you couldn't get that. So, unfortunate, but Nico is to be back healthy, I think, next Monday. He was healthy this week, they said, but, you know, probably didn't want to risk him, but hell. You came into all reds, and you just lost a game you shouldn't have. 5 interceptions, and you lost that game. Yeah, I mean, wow. That was bad, but that's it for football, man. It wasn't the best slates at all, I ain't gonna lie. I enjoyed my Chiefs game. I didn't watch nothing in the mid-afternoon. Then Sunday Night Football, I was doing an essay, so I really couldn't watch that either. But overall, not a bad day. But let's take a break on football, and let's talk some NBA. Let's give some love to the National Basketball Association. All right, so over the weekend, I decided to put a few, like, you know, topics together to talk about for the NBA. The first thing I have to talk about is Chet Holmgren is out 8 to 10 weeks. We already know Isaiah Hartenstein is out probably to mid to late December. And now Chet Holmgren probably doesn't return until mid to late January. Jalen Williams, I don't think, is quite healthy yet too. And what the Thunder do with the center position is going to be interesting because, I mean, hell, I thought, you know, they had the best 1-2 punch going into the season before Isaiah Hartenstein's injury. When it comes to centers in the West, I mean, Chet Holmgren, then Isaiah Hartenstein. I mean, what a duo. I mean, unfortunate Chet is injured again. You know, not his first time being injured in the league for a long duration, but the guy was on his way to being an all-star this year and probably Defensive Player of the Year. Now that he's out, I think it's Wimby's award to lose because, I mean, hell, Chet would have had a better defensive team rating, a better record, probably would have around the same stats, and one-on-one, he probably would have been better. And I would have gave, if I had a vote, it would have been easily been Chet to win Defensive Player of the Year if he kept going on the same path he was. But now that Chet's out, you know, unless somebody like Rudy Gobert or Giannis or, I don't know, maybe if Embiid gets healthy and he goes crazy defensively, even though I don't think he'll meet the Graham threshold, but it's going to be crazy, man, to see who wins Defensive Player of the Year. I think right now it's Wimby, but hell, if they're, you know, bottom two in the West, bottom three, I wouldn't really want to see him to get that Defensive Player of the Year, but that's a big topic, and just got to hope Chet gets healthy soon, man, because he's one of my favorite players to watch in the league. He just just a great player all around. It's unfortunate that he's injured. Next topic is the Raptors know how to tank, man. In the East, where you could easily string some wins together and get yourself in playing, the Raptors know what to do. They lost by 2 to the Clippers on Saturday. They followed that up and lost to the Lakers by 20 on Sunday. I mean, they know what they're doing. All right, they lost 4 straight. You look at their damn schedule, man, and they get the Bucks, Pistons, Celtics, Pacers, Wolves, Cavs, Pistons, Pelicans, Heat. All games they can lose. All right? Now, I believe the NBA lottery is rigged, and I guess I don't really see a problem with that, all right? Because I honestly don't see Cooper Flagg going to Toronto. I see, like, a guy like Ace Bailey, maybe Dylan Harper, maybe some other candidate that rises up. I think they could take over the Raptors franchise and kill some shit right now, man. I think right now, guys like Grady Dick, Ochai Agbaji, guys like that playing well is way more important than your win. So, shout out the Raptors tanking, but that brings me to my next topic. Does Unk still got it? And Unk, I'm talking about LeBron James. He had a triple-double yesterday. 19 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists. There was a guy on the court side that said, I need another rebound, LeBron, for this parlay. LeBron got that rebound and smirked at him after that. That's a real guy right there. That's a real nigga, man. LeBron, shout out that guy, man, for doing that. But Unk still got it. Next up, is Cam Johnson better than Mikal Bridges? In 10 games, Cam Johnson has 2 more points. Basically averages another rebound to him. But he's more efficient from the 3-point line. Way more efficient with free throws. His VORP is better. His BPM is better. His EFG percentage is better. I mean, hell, Cam Johnson with 1 more game has to look better than Mikal Bridges. And the Nets got 5 first-round picks for him. 5. And now with Cameron Johnson improving his value, who's to say the Nets can't get another first for Cam Johnson? It won't be a crazy valued first. But if a team is calling, let's say the Wolves or maybe the Lakers or somebody that's, hey, we'll give you a player in this first-round pick. I don't see why the Nets don't jump on it, man. You're going to have people going to go get Bojan, Dennis Schroeder, Cam Johnson. The veteran crew they got over there, salute, all right? They're doing their job. They're winning a few games they probably shouldn't have, but hell, I mean, I don't be shocked if the Nets can pull some playing things together, man, but maybe the Nets kept the better wing talent, man, and they got 5 picks for it. But that brings me to my next topic about the East teams. Are the Pistons legit? The Pistons just got in a hard-fought battle with the Rockets, you know, 91-9 to 101. They could have won that game. They probably should have won that game, but overall in the season, they're 4-7. Teams like the, if I go look at their schedule, man, they beat the Lakers, the Hawks. They lost on a game winner to the Hornets. They beat the Nets to kick the season off. I mean, they beat the Sixers, lost to the Heat, barely lost to the Celtics, barely lost to the Cavs, barely lost to the Pacers. I mean, they're not that bad, dude. And I'm a believer in this squad, all right? I think they can make the play-in, and I still have them making the play-in. But real quick, I just had to point that out. I think they are in a legit play-in option team, you know? But let's really, what caught my eye off this weekend was the Mavs and Nuggets game. It was a crazy game. Kyrie Irving had 43 points, 5 boards, and 5 assists, nearly winning the game. But a Michael Porter Jr., bucket with 7 seconds left, practically walked it off. Kyrie tried to get the 3, couldn't hit it. Daniel Gafford, unfortunately, couldn't get that putback layup. But the big talk of the game is Nikola Jokic, 37 points, 18 boards, 15 assists, 3 steals. His last game before that, he had 30-14. Game before that, he had 23-20-16. I mean, right now, he is on his way to that third MVP. And you can't argue it. You really can't argue it, man. This is the best player in the league. He's killing it, bro. He is killing it, man. I mean, dude, it's a sight to see, man. League pass, bros, just enjoy every Nuggets game you got because this guy is just a one-on-one talent. He is just so good. So I think Jokic is very well onto his on his way to another MVP. But for the weekend, that's all I really got. But, you know, I'm going to give you guys some games to watch and a reason why to watch it for non-national TV games because you're probably going to watch a TNT and ESPN game. So for my League Pass bros, I got some games to watch on League Pass. On Monday, tonight, you can watch the Thunder and Clips, you know, the first game without Chet Holmgren. The Clippers haven't looked so bad at all, you know. I expect them to be a little worse than they are right now, but James Harden is leading them to a solid ground right now, man. On Tuesday, the Clippers are back again. You know, I have them playing the Rockets. This is going to be a game for two teams that look to make the play-in slash playoffs, but, you know, one of them probably won't have to make it. Like, I think when I'm looking in April, one of these teams are out, one of these teams are in. So down the line, when these teams play a little more down in the season, this game is going to be important. But right now, it's going to be a good one to watch on Tuesday. Next, I got the Heat and Pistons. Two teams around the same record. Two teams that will most likely have aspirations of making the play-in in the East down in March and April. But that's a good game to watch there. And back to the West on Wednesday, I got the Kings and Suns. League pass game. Sabonis, Fox, D-Book. I think KD will be out for a week or two, so it's going to be the D-Book and Bradley Beal show versus a bonus and De'Aaron Fox. But, yeah, those are the games to watch. That is the main site of the NBA this weekend, so we got a lot to talk about Friday in between now, of course, Friday morning. So there'll be a lot to talk about, but, you know, guys like KD, Chet, hope they get healthy, Zion too. It's just unfortunate, man. You know, great players getting bugged by injuries. You hate to see it, but that's it for the NBA. You know, the recap, what I just talked about, Chet's out. The Raptors for sure know how to tank. Cam Johnson might be better than Mikal Bridges, all right? Jokic is on his way to the third MVP. Kyrie had his 40-point game. Unk still got it. LeBron's still killing it. Pistons look real, playing real at least. And I gave you guys the non-national TV games to watch. Thunder Clips on Monday, Heat Pistons, Clippers Rockets on Tuesday, and then Kings Suns on Wednesday. So that's it for NBA, and right now, as getting closer and closer to college football playoffs, it's important we sit here and talk about college football. So, let's get into that. First and foremost, M-I-Z. C-O-U! Man, shout out to Mizzou Tigers, man. Of course, they're still ranked in the country, and boom, they knocked off the whack-ass Boomer Sooners. I knew it. I believed in them, all right? Drew Pine, 14 completions, 143 passing yards, and 3 passing TDs to 0 interceptions. He didn't throw an interception. Drew Pine, those few first games he got in, 3 interceptions versus Alabama. I mean, 3 now versus Alabama. Came in way more relaxed in Fairfield, killed it. Theo Weiss, former Sooner himself, 70 yards, 4 catches, 2 TDs. The one the one tiptoe swag in the corner of the end zone to tie the game up. Brett Norfleet with a catch. Luther Burden with a clutch catch, man. 5 catches, 65 yards in the passing game, 65 yards in total. I mean, hell, it wasn't the prettiest games, all right, offensively for Mizzou, but defensively they did their freaking thing. Zion Young with the walk-off touchdown. I mean, guys got to Jackson Arnold. Jackson Arnold got sacked 3 times, all right? He only had 74 passing yards. They had 257 yards in total. I mean, all that shit they talked to Oklahoma fans, Oklahoma staff, they couldn't fuck with us on our worst day. Brady Cook not in. Multiple injuries. Momentum down. But in Como, we handled our thing, man. It was beautiful to watch, all right? That was the most excited I've got. When Zion Young picked that ball up, he got that tutty. Hey, man. That was a beautiful thing to watch, all right? I was in love with it, all right? It was beauty to watch, man. But let me not get to oozing. Let's talk about some other games. BYU nearly got knocked off by Utah. They game-winning field goal from Will Farron. Shout out to the guy who went 3-3 that day. BYU's college football playoffs hopes are still alive as they lead the Big 12 standings right now. And 9-0, they are probably going to be, I would say they'll be 5th in the college football playoff ranking today. I mean, Tuesday, excuse me. I think they might be 5th or 6th. They should jump over Miami and Georgia. So they're going to be either 5th or 6th on the college football playoffs. Other news. Pitt got knocked off by Virginia. Shout out my guy, Ethan. Penn State handled business versus Washington. Ashton Jeanteen continued to look like Heisman. 34 carries, 221 yards in total. Three tutties. I mean, he's that guy, bro. I mean, just give him the Heisman, man. I love Travis Hunter. I appreciate what Travis Hunter does. But after that loss to Georgia Tech, which I'll talk about, Cam Board doesn't deserve it. Dylan Gabriel has done nothing Heisman worthy. It has to go to Ashton Jeanteen. I mean, if he gets these guys to the playoffs, why not, all right? He's good. He has to win it. I love Travis Hunter, but if Travis Hunter gets Colorado to the playoffs, sure, give it to him. But if Boise State's in the playoffs before Colorado, it needs to go to Ashton Jeanteen. Death Valley, what can I say? It was just a blowout. Alabama just dogged out LSU 42-13. I did not expect this at all. I thought this was going to be a close game, but the nuts and bust got stopped before we can continue our trip. 2 interceptions for the Nuss, 1 passing TD. Kyron Lacy, 5 catches, 79 yards. 239 yards for Nuss as well. Overall, I think this probably will be the worst LSU will be for the next few years. I don't know, coaching-wise, how hot Brian Kelly's seat is. I don't think it really should be hot. You just kind of got cooked this game, and it is what it is. Alabama's a better team this year, and you're going to have to take it like that. Next up, Notre Dame dogged out FSU 52-3. FSU dismissed his both coordinators and their wide receiver coach over the weekend after this game. I mean, I don't know what to say, man. FSU sits here at 1-9 and probably the worst season in probably school history because this is embarrassing. No words at all. What's another big game we could talk about? Oh, Colorado beat Texas Tech 41-27. Colorado, Shador Sanders, 30 completions, 291 yards, 3 passing TDs. Travis Hunter, does he not play offense no more, bro? I feel like I get trolled. Did he play this game? I guess he had 9 catches, 99 yards, and 1 TD. They didn't show him on offense for some reason, but yeah, he did his thing. Texas Tech, they lose this one in kind of heartbreaking fashion because, you know, if you won this game, you'd have been over Colorado in the Big 12 rankings, but now you see it as 4-3 instead of 5-2. And Colorado, they went out, and Ryan, they went out. I think they will be second, and they will play BYU, Mormons versus Influencers. Hey, shout out to my boy Gavin for that one, man. But Mormons versus Influencers for the Big 12 Championship if things hold and BYU and Colorado win out. But Colorado has Oklahoma State, KU, and Utah on the schedule. 3 teams that have all disappointed this season, looking to disappoint somebody else this season as well. So they need to make sure they're not upset watching. They can get out of there perfectly. But damn, the Deion Sanders to Dallas shit could ruin their season, man. All that talk, hey, that could affect what's going on in there. But in other news, Michigan lost 15-20 to Indiana. Shannon Moore, if I'm not mistaken, is his name. You know, hey, I wouldn't say it's your fault, Bubba, but not the best of games. I think their field goal kicker, excuse me, I don't know why field goal kicker, but their kicker, yeah, caught made up for most of the points. He kicked three field goals and they only got, I think, one touchdown. But yeah, Indiana, who's to be 10-0, you know, demons. Another news, Big 12, KU shocked Iowa State in Arrowhead. When I seen the score, it was like 10-28. I was embarrassed. How the hell did you lose to KU in 2024? Big 2024, and KU's putting the fear in ranked teams. Makes no sense. And then probably the biggest game of the day, Ole Miss, by two possessions, 28-10, beat Georgia. Jackson Dart did his thing. Well, on the stat line, it didn't seem like that, but he led the team to win, man. It was the defense, though, for the Rebels. Carson Beck looked terrible. One interception. He got sacked five times. Negative 20 rushing yards. I mean, everybody was on clamps on that Georgia offense. And, I mean, Lane Kiffin got these guys right, man. You know, they were on the brink of college football playoff elimination. With one more loss, they would have been donezo. But their season stays alive, and their hopes are, of course, alive as well, as Georgia are knocked to two wins, two losses, and they have to play Tennessee next. And Ole Miss, you look at their schedule, they got Florida and Mississippi State. So, hey, they're in the thick of it, all right? But in other news, Ohio State won 45-0. And, yeah, last game we'll talk about, Georgia Tech beating Miami. This is one game I had my eyes on. Cam Ward, unfortunately, sold at the end of the game. He was just moving around in the pocket a little too much and lost that ball, just like our Jackson Arnold did hold that. And, yeah, Haynes King, they done did it, man. Another impressive win over Miami for Georgia Tech back-to-back years. And, hell, they get Georgia at the end of the season, so they could get another big upset. But overall, it was a great game to watch. Miami, they're, of course, probably going to walk away with the ACC. Right now, though, they're third, if I'm not mistaken, in ACC. They're a half game back between the Tigers and Mustangs, SMU Mustangs. Of course, Clemson, if you look at their schedule, they got to play Pitt, a random-ass school, what the hell? And then South Carolina, you look at SMU, they got Virginia, Boston College, Cal. So, unironically, I don't get. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm sitting here a little confused on how the Hurricanes are third in the conference, but yeah, they got Wake Forest and Syracuse, but yeah, they are currently third. You know, if the Mustangs, SMU win out, they'll be first, and if I think them and, if I'm not say Clemson will be tied if they both of them win out, but yeah, solid days, all right. Solid days of work, all right. But college football didn't disappoint this weekend. Huge upsets, big games, and yeah. It's going to be an interesting slate if I'm... let me look at him. It will be another interesting slate next Saturday. We're going to have some big games, some teams with their fingers crossed. And as usual, college football in November, chaos. That's all you can say. But that's it for college football. And before we wrap up the podcast, we, of course, got to do our Monday night and Thursday night football previews. So let's get into that. Tonight, expect a high-scoring thriller between the Miami Dolphins and Los Angeles Rams. Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. I'm hoping this is a high-scoring game because I actually want to watch this one. This is actually one of those Monday Night Football games I have motivation to watch, motivation to put on the screen, man. Tyreek Hill is questionable, but he is probably going to play. I mean, this is going to probably be a good game. Got Kyren Williams, Devon Achane. Two high-power offenses. I think this could be one of the higher-scoring games we see this season. And I hope it is because, you know, I want a good primetime game. I want an ethical primetime game. When I watched last night on Sunday Night Football, what I barely watched, that wasn't ethical, bro. I don't like how a team forced five interceptions and ended up losing. That's not ethical, bro. They should have blown the lines out, but here we are, and the Texans lost the next day. I mean, it's annoying to watch, man. But I'm looking at this dog right now, and on paper, I think this will be a good game, man. But if I had to choose a winner, this is hard because these are two teams that need a win. Especially the Dolphins, where they're the Rams. But the Rams continue to want to stay in the NFC West, you know, contention. Because that wild card is going to come hard to get. Because you got two of the NFC North teams will probably take it up. I think the Vikings, Packers will be a wild card team. And then you got that third spot up for the loser in the NFC East. The Commanders are Philly. That's the unfortunate part. So you got the Cardinals, Seahawks, Rams, 49ers. they're all 5-4, all four losses or so. They have to win their division because I don't see any of them possibly jumping over the Vikings or Packers or losers of Eagles and Commanders for that final spot, you know. That's the unfortunate reality of stacked divisions, man. You know, you got to suffer from the NFC North becoming demons this year and the NFC East having a solid top two teams. But overall, it's going to be a great battle to watch for the rest of the year for the NFC West. But right now, my heart's telling me go with the Dolphins, but my brain's saying Rams. So I'm going to follow my heart on this one. I'm going to say the Dolphins get the win tonight. I think Tua will have a great game. And I think this will be the game Tyreek pops off. This will be Tyreek Hill's breakout game this year. I know it's crazy to say back breakout game. I mean, you look at the year and he only had one game over 100 yards. And that was against the Jags opening day. After that, his highest yards were 80 versus the Bills. That was when Tua came back. So I expect around 150 yards for Tyreek tonight. I'm thinking about putting his over on PrizePicks, but after the disaster I had yesterday, I'm going to stay away from it. But yeah, tonight I expect a high-scoring game. Matthew Stafford to get his, Tua to get his, but Tyreek to especially get his. And, you know, Cooper Kupp, Puka going to do their thing, Jalen Waddle. So my heart's telling me Dolphins, so I'm going to go with the Dolphins to win this one. And yeah, give me the Dolphins on this one. But let's wrap it up talking some Thursday Night Football. Alrighty. So when you look at it, Phillies and Commanders can very well compete with what the Ravens and Bengals did yesterday. Excuse me, last week. All right, Commanders sit at 7-3, Eagles 7-2. Great. This is what I wanted to see, man. You know, when we get later in the season, games that we might be iffy about on paper, when we get to this point in the season, they look right now to be elite. Eagles Commanders, I think their first time meeting up this season. It's going to be a good one, all right? I don't think it'll be as high scoring as the Bengals or Ravens just because, you know, those are two elite quarterbacks, two top five quarterbacks. Now, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts will be in the top 10 very soon, especially Jaden Daniels. I think Jalen Hurts is already top 10, but Jaden is not so far off from joining him. But, man, this is probably going to be a great game. The defenses are going to show out Dan Quinn, Nick Sirianni. The game is going to be won on the line of scrimmage, in my opinion. Will the Eagles take over? You know, the demons they got on that team. Will they take over? You got Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, the Georgia Bulldogs. I was blanking on Jordan Davis' name, but are those guys going to show up? I mean, is their secondary going to hold up versus guys like Terry McLaurin? Zach Bond's been doing his thing this year. Josh Sweat, Cooper DeJean. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm not going to lie to you, man. The Eagles draft so well defensively, and I always troll about Howie Roseman, but this is a solid defense, and I love the way Howie goes about drafting his defense and acquiring his defense because it works, man. But Eagles are looking to return to the Super Bowl, and I don't see why they couldn't. This defense is great, but offensively in their play calling, they have to mesh well. So this is going to be a great game. Eagles at home. Right now, I'm going to go with the Eagles because they are at home. I think they will split the series. I think when you go back to Washington, the Commanders will win. Right now, I think the Eagles will get the upper hand right now and kind of separate themselves with a two-game lead versus the Commanders. And the Commanders will seize to close that. The Eagles will, of course, meet them down the line again. And I think the Eagles can drop one more game, maybe to the Steelers, to the Ravens, to maybe the Cowboys. Nah, I'm trolling. But when I look at the Eagles' schedule, like I said, you got the Ravens, Rams, Steelers. This is in order, but those are three games you could lose. As for the Commanders, after this, like I said, you got the Cowboys, Saints, Falcons. That's a game you could lose to the Falcons, but it's okay for the Commanders if you split this game. If you split this series with the Eagles, that is okay, all right? If you get one, they get one, let it be, all right? They're probably going to drop a game to either the Steelers and or Ravens, or maybe both, all right? And then you, if you can get that split and you beat them, you're very well in the race all year. So it's going to be an interesting one for sure. This is a game, a primetime game. I'm going to have to put on because I like both teams. And right now, because they are at home, give me the Eagles to win this one. Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon. I think they're going to have a day. I hope this game is close because I want to believe the Commanders are legit. So I hope this game is close, but you know, it's a division rival game. They're always close instead of being a blowout, all right? You're out of the 100 division games we see all year, I'd say 70% of them are close than a blow, closer to being a close game than to a blowout. But I expect the same thing on Thursday, a close game, but the Eagles being at home, the Eagles being in the spotlight and bigger game environments more than this young Commanders team. Give me the Eagles in this one, all right? It's going to be a great game to watch, man. But that's it for the Born to Ball podcast today on Monday, man. It's nearly an hour long, but I felt great talking about everything, you know? One of my cleaner episodes, maybe. Probably still stuttered a little. Still sounded a little dumb, as I just stuttered right there. But forgive me. I'm not the cleanest yet. Hopefully, like I said, I can get better with the months coming up. But, yeah. Solid games. Look forward to this week. Solid games on Sunday, Saturday, and, of course, the NBA as well. But on Friday, it'll be the usual. We'll recap Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, whatever happened in NBA. You'll get the second edition of the Born to Ball podcast, NBA Team of the Week. We'll preview college football Saturday, NFL Sunday. We'll talk about anything in between, trade news. Hell, MLB offseason is soon to pop off, so we'll get into that as well. But as always, love and respect one another. Stay united. And as always, this has been Kenny G, and I'll catch you guys on Friday. Peace out.